Hi, this is another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm glad you've joined us today. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast, in case you're listening to us for the first time, is one that features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. And today we're going to have program number 280 in our series. It's going to be a program about God. Aren't all our programs about God? Well, this one is specifically a message on who God is. And I invite you to listen to it. Our format's going to be a little bit different this morning. Because the message is so lengthy, we're going to skip our usual good music and go straight to the message. Hope that's all right with you. But we think that the message is most important, and it's important to get it all in one broadcast. So we'll do that this morning. Remember the words in Psalm 34, though, before we start our message, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Here's Pastor Wintley Phipps now with the message for today, the message on who God is.
In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, I want to draw your attention to verse 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, others Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Praise God for his word. Now, I'm going to try to preach a message which to me is always the most difficult of all messages to preach. Perhaps it is because it is the most important of all messages we could preach. So I solicit your prayers this morning. Amen? Amen. The disciples of Jesus, weary from many days of travel, followed their master down to the town of Caesarea Philippi. Some of them were becoming discouraged because of the rising storm of hostility and criticism bearing down on Jesus. And so at an opportune moment in their fellowship and time together, Jesus placed before them a question they had not anticipated. Whom do men say that I am? The disciples were well aware of all that had been reported about Jesus in the gossip sheets and the tabloids of their day. They knew what was being said about him in the marketplace and at the supper tables and in the doors of the synagogues. They had tried to be prudent when it came to sharing with Jesus the things they had heard that were being said about him. Sometimes when you have a friend, you don't even want to tell him everything the other people are saying about him. But if you're a real friend, you're not going to tolerate people saying false things about your friend. Are you with me this morning? They had tried to be prudent. They tried to be selective and often shared with him only the sentiments they heard from others that they held themselves. Now, you know, we do that sometimes. We won't tell everything we've heard, but the things that we've heard we agree with, we come and we say, you know, I think I need to tell you something. They had heard their friends call Jesus everything from a glutton to a wine bibber. Imagine they had to endure others calling their master a wild and greedy drunk, a glutton and a wine bibber. The disciples knew that in certain circles, Christ was even being mocked. They were mocking him for not having enough political sense to be seen as a friend of publicans and sinners, to be seen as a friend of Democrats or Republicans. You know, people always ask me, you know, it's so funny when I get around my Republican friends, they want to know why I got so many Democratic friends. And when I get around the Democrats, they want to know how come I have so many Republican friends. You know what I ask them? I ask the Democrats, who do you think need the Lord most? And then when I go around the Republicans, I say, who do you think need the Lord the most? The disciples had heard it all. He's a carpenter turned prophet. He's just a naive political enthusiast. He's a dreamy, wide-eyed mystic. They heard it all. And they held most of it back from him because they believe if they told him all the evil-minded slander the clergy of his day were saying about him, it might discourage him and dampen his spirit. So they held from him the venomous words others were saying about him, words that really amounted to character assassination. The clergy knew how to do that even back then. Are you with me today? It's been going on a long time. Again, the question came from Jesus to them, who do men say that I am? Well, Jesus said to the disciples, if you really want to know, some say that you are John the Baptist. Even Herod said, if you're John the Baptist, come back to haunt him. Some say you are Elijah coming to appear before the King of Kings restores the kingdom to his people. Others say that you are Elijah, come back proclaiming fearlessly the kingdom. And Jesus listened to them and then placed before them the most important question of all. He placed before the disciples a question that is perhaps the most important question in all the world. But whom do you say that I am? In other words, who am I to you? Simon Peter answered and said, Master, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Simon Peter, your words and thoughts were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. They were not words born of flattery, nor of the will of man. Those words came directly to you from God. And upon this rock I will build my church. Brothers and sisters, Jesus knew that Peter, in that moment, had caught a glimpse of the foundational tenet, the foundational doctrine of the Christian faith. Now, last Sabbath, I preached about the Father. Today, I'm preaching about the Son. Next sermon is on the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus knew that Peter, when he said, Thou art what? The Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus knew that Peter had caught a glimpse of the foundational doctrine of the Christian faith. Brothers and sisters, hear me today. The foundation of Christianity is that Jesus is more than just a prophet. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. You take that truth away and the entire doctrinal structure of the Christian faith collapses. You take that doctrine away, and the whole temple of our beliefs caves in. There are those who argue that if Jesus was the son of his father, then there must have been a time when he did not exist. Have you heard that? But Jesus said himself, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. That could have been interpreted to simply mean that he was before Abraham. And a whole lot of other people will be before Abraham. But Jesus was saying much more than that. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am means I've always been here. Others say they do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They doubt his power to raise others from the dead, and they doubt that he came up out of the grave. Some of the most learned people in the world do not accept, even theologians do not accept, the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ. One high school biology teacher said that she had, listen to this, she had too scientific a mind to believe that Jesus could possibly have been born without the cooperation of a human father. But my Bible tells me that in the beginning was the Word. Amen. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn quickly to the book of Revelation, and you will catch a picture of Jesus coming back to the earth. Revelation chapter 19. The book of Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, what? A white horse. He who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. That's Jesus. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. He has a name inscribed which no one knows but himself. He is clad in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And you go back to John 1. It says, in the beginning was that same word that's coming on a horse. Are you with me today? And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Many people looked at Jesus back then. They saw only a Galilean peasant. Some saw in him a modern-day prophet. They stopped to listen. But others saw in him the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And this morning I've come to say to you, it really doesn't matter how everybody else sees him. The only thing that really matters this morning is, how do you see him? Who do you see that he is? Some see in Christ a simple and perfect man who managed to live an exemplary, even perfect life. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Jesus was not like the leaders of any other denomination. First of all, you can find where they are still laying. This question, who do you say that I am, is the most personal, pressing, vital question of your life. What think ye of Christ? Who is he to you? Your answer to that question will determine your character, your life, even your destiny. When you look at me, says Jesus, who do you see? Who do you see? 6,000 years ago, a profane intruder called sin found its way to this perfect planet. Sin, after infecting the world, reached out of its confines and domain and stretched its leprous, sinful limbs towards heaven and began plucking on the heartstrings of God. 6,000 years ago, a runaway planet careening through space compelling, absorbing the sympathies of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the universe stood still, suspended in silence as the Holy Trinity caucus. They had to have an emergency meeting on this planet. A solution to this dark and painful phenomenon called sin was sought. And when they emerged from that historic meeting, Jesus took a step forward, stood before all the angelic hosts, robed in light and splendor. He was unusually determined. He was calm and composed. He was fully aware of the decision he had made to launch a one-man rescue mission. You see, in that meeting in heaven, Jesus volunteered to come to earth himself and give his life as a sacrifice for all my sin and your sin. And it was not long before this most mysterious, magnificent event in the history of mankind occurred. I sang about it today. The Holy Spirit hovered and brooded over a young handmaid named Mary. And then, with the power of a miracle, with all the majesty of an event of providence that was without precedent, divinity condensed itself into an embryonic form. And a unique God-man was conceived in the bosom of Mary. The angel said, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from all their sins." And through the medium of the Holy Spirit, Jesus became our Emmanuel. That name Emmanuel means what? God with us. And because of his love for us, the Bible says he made of himself no reputation. He didn't worry about his reputation. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God we serve. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. For us, he laid down his kingly robes. Have mercy, Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus taking off his crown? Taking off his kingly robes, putting down his scepter, entering the darkness of a woman's womb, becoming God incarnate in a human frame. Oh, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, somebody said. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling us unto himself. Now, let me make some things clear today. The Christ we serve was, as one Latin theologian said, veri homos, veri Deus. That means he was very much God, as he was very much man. Veri homos, veri Deus. There were those times in the life of Christ, and I love to read the Spirit of Prophecy because she brings this out so clearly. There were times in the life of Christ when his human frame could not cloak or contain the veri Deus that was in him. There were times when his human frame, his veri homos, couldn't handle the veri Deus that was in his frame. And in those times, the servant of God tells us, his divinity would leak through his humanity. You remember in the wilderness, he resisted the tempter's power. When Jesus said to Lucifer, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God," the servant of God tells us the devil himself, when Jesus said those words, drew back, because in that moment, the divinity of Jesus was leaking and flashing through his humanity. As Jesus made his stand against the devil in the wilderness, there are those who've heard the words of preachers proclaiming the divinity of Christ. They say they don't believe it. Oh, I wish you could have been there in the wilderness. I wish you could have seen Jesus for himself. Another time, the servant of the Lord says, another time it happened was when he was in the temple running the money changers out. You think they ran because of the whip? No, divinity was leaking through his humanity. When the zeal of his father's house had eaten him up, he was shouting, "Make not my father's house a den of thieves." But they saw something else. The divinity was in him leaking, flashing through his humanity. She said another time it happened was on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus saw the cross before him, he saw the road of sorrows he had to travel on. He prostrated himself on the ground. And as he lay there before his father, the ground around him became charged with light and power. His robe began to shimmer on the Mount of Transfiguration because the divinity, the very Deus that was in him, started leaking through the very homos. And when he died a cruel death, early that Sunday morning, an angelic messenger was dispatched from the throne room of God with a message for Jesus. Now listen to this. He stood outside the tomb. If you didn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, first of all, you got to be out your mind, because the Bible says that the devils believe. Even the devils know. And you walk around saying, "I don't believe." Well, when Jesus was in the tomb, he stood outside. The angel stood outside the tomb and he spoke with a loud voice. Remember what the angel said. He said, "Son of God, thy father calleth thee." And in that moment, the divinity that was alive and resident in Christ spoke to the humanity in Christ that had died. Because you see, divinity can't die. So if he's very homos and very deus and he dies, just the homos die. Amen? Jesus spoke to himself. The very deus spoke to the very homos. Said, "Well, Jesus, it's time to get up. The Father's calling." Now, for those of you who might think that what I've just described is a fanciful and absurd notion, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 10. Have mercy, Jesus. I thank God for his holy word today. The book of John, chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I do what? Lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And in John 10, verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because what? I lay down my life that I might take it up." Said, "I laid it down and I took it up. Nobody gave it to me. For in him is life, unborrowed, original, underived. No man take," and look at verse 18, "no man taketh it from me." Hallelujah. They can take his homos, they can't take his deus. "But I lay it down of myself." Lord have mercy. I have power to what? Lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. "And I do what? Lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And in John 10, verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because what? I lay down my life that I might take it up." He said, "I laid it down and I took it up. Nobody gave it to me. For in him is life, unborrowed, original, underived. No man take," and look at verse 18, "no man taketh it from me." Hallelujah. They can take his
homos, they can't take his deus. But I lay it down of myself. Lord have mercy.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today, and just about to the end of our program. I hope that you enjoyed the message on who God is or who Jesus is. If you listened, then you know why I added that second question to the first one that I asked before the program. This is program number 280 in our series, and if you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. That's 301-577-6342. And be sure to ask for program number 280. Until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to wish you God's richest blessings, and I want you to remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Down inside your heart and show you really care. Someone may find in you hope for their tomorrow. All you did was smile, and you will.